Okay, let's start up with the feedback on the fair valuation, and I think we start with group four, which is Mary.
Okay, unexpected challenge.
It was very simple what we provided.
He heckled before he started.
I just want people to understand how difficult it really was.
Not surprising considering the source of the heckling.
I accept.
I think the group started with a lot of relief on many people's parts that they were not responsible for trying to pull together information about as complex a set of holdings and instruments as the company whose disclosures we focused on. I pushed everybody, and with help from Robert, we came up with a slogan that was tools rather than changes as kind of the message for standard setting follow-up in this area. And my characterization now, I think some sense that the 20 plus pages of disclosures that we looked at were conveyed entirely in a monotone so that if you read them, you got some useful information, but you did not know which page to focus on. And the sense was that it would have been more helpful if in the disclosures there was some emphasis on here are the key things that are most likely to affect the amount, timing, and uncertainty of cash flows, but that the answer to trying to get to that was probably more around tools to help people achieve that objective rather than starting to make big changes in the existing requirements. Some of the tools we talked about include our old favorite, which is materiality, which applies not only in this area but other areas. Another possible standard setter response, guidance from us on how to improve the effectiveness of communication. One of the things that was a very strong message across all of the participants was that the tabular presentations were the things that people went to first and really helped them find their way through the pages of potentially monotone and figure out which items they wanted to focus on and then track down. So a big message that tables are very often powerful tools for organizing lots of information, that people would have found some information more useful if they had been more readily able to connect different pieces of information. And so maybe a message to us is that it would be helpful to be clearer about objectives, not just the generic amount, timing, and uncertainty of cash flows, emphasizing that uncertainty is particularly an issue in this area, and saying that the objective would be for preparers to give insights into the uncertainties and the assumptions that could most affect the measurement of these items, either because they were the largest balances or because they were uncertainties that had the potential to really change what the measurements were. It could even be something that appeared relatively small now. And I think there was a sense that it's tough being a company trying to comply with all the requirements that are set out. And perhaps if we could give both more encouragement and more requirement, something to look to, but also something that pushes you in this direction to say you have to call out the things that are the most important and focus on those, because that the important messages could get drowned out in 20 plus pages of information. Having said that, complex area for a complex institution, 20 pages probably is not overkill given the amount of information they had to convey. So that's my impressionistic feedback from the discussion our group had. Any group members want to tune that? Okay.
Okay, thanks Mary, we go to group three.
So same topic, financial instruments, building a lot on, I think, Mary's feedback was probably more organized than our meeting felt in terms of the way we did it.
Excuse me. Her description is much more organized than our discussion. Just to be clear.
I think we probably picked up a lot of those points in different orders. A couple of additional points that we would make is that there was a general feeling that the narrative descriptions were possibly longer than they needed to be. There was some comment about the fact that the narrative descriptions weren't necessarily intended for the amateur user of the financial statements, and a lot of people didn't necessarily follow what the heck they were talking about. I think there was a lot of comment about the way that the information was presented, and I think Mary picked up on the words materiality. It felt like there were a lot of very small numbers wandering around in the tables in particular, a feeling that perhaps if the presenters had considered more how that information would be used from the perspective of trend analysis and similar, they may have been able to focus more on the material drivers of what the business was. A lot of questions around the focus on level three and the fact that many of the things that affect level three also affect level two in terms of measurement uncertainty, in terms of variability of outcome, and how that might change over time, and a feeling that perhaps there was too much information on level three but also not enough information on level two, and that balance, particularly given the fact that generally speaking, level two is a much higher category or much greater category by volume than level three, that more information would be useful in that space. Some discussion about whether the sensitivity analysis type information is useful in order to understand potential measurement error versus potential measurement uncertainty, so the uncertainty of drivers. So are you trying to understand what the effect would be in changes in interest rates, or are you trying to understand what the change would have been if they'd used a different interest rate to measure it, and an uncertainty of what that is trying to achieve. And that became an important discussion between level two and level three. A lot of comments around the table, particularly from the preparers, about whether we are using fair value in the correct space. And as much as we try to kill that, it kept coming up. So I think it is an important sort of background comment that we need to sort of bear in mind. Again, I think I probably covered on top of what Mary said, I think the iterative things. One thing was just on the presentation form, whether or not things like graphs and other types of analysis would actually provide a lot more useful information in this space, and that just presenting in tables isn't really communicating the message. And I think, Mary, that was something what you were saying, in just picking up a useful way to understand what the big message is there.
One thing I do recall as a message that I maybe wanted to add to Spark by you, because it sounds like it's a bit different. I think the sense I got from everybody reading the information was level one, level two, we assume people know how to do that. There's not a lot of sensitivity there. We want to dive immediately to the level three. And that's where most people, and I think there was not the same sense that you seem to have of a bit too much emphasis on level three and not enough on level two.
Perhaps I can expand on that too. But I think there was a feeling that possibly at the beginning when people were getting into this, there was a lot of uncertainty, particularly now talking financial sector, in how you went about level three. But a view that started to emerge, people are starting to better understand the tools that are available to measure in that space. And in some cases, very simply describing the tool that you've used gives sufficient information. There's still and I think a part of it comes into this idea of what I'm trying to find out is what the likely numbers are going to be. So we focus, you're right, the focus there is different. The other point that's perhaps worth just making very quickly, because I think it was part of the question, is that I didn't get the impression from the discussion we had that people felt we needed more, that level of aggregation was a problem. And those people generally felt that the aggregation level was appropriate. We didn't need to dive deeper into the information.
Okay, thanks, Daryl. Shangwu, group two.
Okay, our group has had a kind of a short of time for many issues, many ideas members would like to say, even though they are from non-financial institutions, but also they don't have good experience with the fair value measurement. But still, our group members have had a lot of things to say. You know, for the first question, the usefulness of the information, generally, Basically, the what we thought is correct. You know, users like to have more disclosures on their bearing measurement. However, preparers do not like such kind of a detailed disclosures. If the preparers do not think that those detailed disclosures are really helpful, useful for investors. But however, some preparers think even though there is some kind of a risk of litigation, legal suits, preparers are having a kind of additional burden if they provide some kind of detailed analysis, for example, sensitive analysis on the effects of unobservable inputs, for example, even though their narrative and analysis still very burdensome to their preparers. Another thing is that they would like to have a specific disclosure information is some kind of information on some big change. Rather, in a normal operations, this kind of disclosures might not be useful. However, there is some kind of big change or some kind of potential change coming, then this kind of disclosure might be very useful to investors, also their preparers too. And one thing on this sensitive analysis, the same their concern is if this sensitive analysis are not based on some more reliable inputs and assumptions, then they might not be so useful to investors. And there is a kind of some discussion like before the level of litigation, the fair value measurement of individual assets or liabilities too much. And also they would like to have some kind of aggregation and allowed for the measuring their some items at fair value. Also, they are talking about the contingencies and the fair value. Maybe this might not be relevant. However, when you measure contingent consideration and contingent liability, IFRS 13 fair value measurement might provide some kind of a tool how to reduce some kind of burden of the preparers so that their related issue might be. So generally, we had a very good discussion, even though we are not from financial institutions, but we had a very good discussion. So this might be very helpful for our next stage of this project. And this is just the early stage of this whole PIR. So we are going to come back and again to ask you whether our proposals for this improvement of this IFRS 13 is right or sufficient for you. So thank you for all members of our group. Do you have any other ideas from what I discussed, summarized?
No? Okay, thanks, Shengwu. And then we go to the last group, Gary.
We're probably like the others. We had something of a rambling discussion. And probably more or less covered the whole subject. Basically, the order we discussed it is for regular PP&E for commercial industrial type companies, the general sense was fair value information is borders on useless and expensive. It's one thing when you move something to assets held to sale or someplace where you're moving to monetize it as opposed to use. So there was not really much value seen in that. So with that got us off example two, and we spent our time in example one, which is investment properties. I think one thing is since the inputs are probably the wrong information, that if they, since is maybe you need stuff more like yield divided by fair value or something as opposed to the discount rate. So the question is, are you actually asking or requiring the right disclosures? It is, again, yield meaning, you know, rents or whatever, you know, what divided by fair value, that's a more relevant number. There's a question on disaggregation, is that you look at the example, it's, you know, it's got it by Canada, the United States, by Europe. These are very big markets, even 5 miles apart in London, they're different markets. And the analysts, we tend to think more by city. And, but in a place like London, you know, zone 6 is a different market than zone 1, and so on. And so maybe more disaggregation would be useful, you know, assuming you've got material portfolios with some diversity in its characteristics. There is no expectation that IFRS 13 will cover all the fair value needs, you know, of users. That other standards have to play into it as well. Another item that we'd like to see is disclosures about how, when you actually go to selling properties, how are the capital gains and losses? You know, how well do you do against the assumptions in which you value them? Earlier on, if you got something that's continuously measured at fair value, but at some point in time, if it's an investment, they do tend to get monetized, and how are the realized gains and losses doing? There was a request from at least one participant in the group, G, could we put out level 3 valuations in OCI until realized, and they just took the notes, sharing it with it. Another thought is that particularly in, you know, highly leveraged investments, which real estate tends to be, really having more information about the deferred taxes assigned to the valuations or related to those properties would be very useful, because deferred tax value very clearly factor into investment valuations. We don't really quite know how that's handled in there. Then there's a sense when you've got strategic investments, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5%, where you're really in it, you know, to secure some stable supply or something else. And if the person you got the strategic investment is not a listed company, it gets very near impossible to get information from them for inputs from their side of it. And that's just a limitation in the precision of which you can apply your computations and disclosures. And then I'll say this, since level 1, level 2, level 3 really don't translate very well and themselves are sort of meaningless unless you're really an accounting geek who follows the stuff and can you come up with something else to call it. And then this is an observation towards the end. I ceased on it perhaps more than the other people in the room, but someone said, you know, if you compare investment properties to agricultural property plants, it's not different. You got a grapevine and you got yield, great harvest for the year. So think of the vine as the equivalent of an apartment building, and the grapes for that year equivalent to rents, and should there be some more symmetry between agricultural products at fair value and investment properties at fair value. So I'm throwing out as an off-the-wall observation because it was made, and I don't think anyone expects us to do anything with it, but in the interest of having something, being the last person speaking on this stuff, having something new to put into the room, I did that.
So does that mean that the rents on the investment property go down when there's a drought?
It might, you know, whatever your inputs are. You know.
Okay, thank you, Gary. I think the groups don't find it very easy to concentrate only on disclosures or on the fair value. But any further comments?
Instead of level 1, level 2, level 3, we just call it lies, and damn statistics.
I think we should stay with though. Any other labels we use are going to be much more offensive.
One other observation that was a one-off that came to mind from one of Gary's comments was, again, in terms of thinking about how to improve the information value of the disclosure, was that if people feel forced to do things level 1, level 2, level 3, that you maybe don't get the integration of how they're managed, and so you might find a gain on one half of a position and an offsetting loss on another half of the position separated by a number of pages, and you have to know whether or not to link them, so it doesn't maybe give you the sense of how risk is managed. That was a thought in terms of something else that could make it more useful, but I think personal view is desirable, but it also may be too much to load on one poor disclosure section in terms of how much you can accomplish. That, you know, it's bad, but we might just have to think about where we put that in the priorities.
Okay. Sorry?
Could I say a few things?
Yeah, absolutely. What do you
thank you so much for this. I'm just going to say the results of our survey on Slido and summarize next steps. So the results are in, and 22 of you have voted about level of aggregation in fair value disclosures. And 20% of you said that the fair disaggregation, there was too much aggregation in disclosure. So that's 20%. 55% of those of you who voted said this level of aggregation is just about right. And I hear this being consistent to messages from some of the group's feedbacks. And almost 30% of you have said that there is too much disaggregation in the disclosures provided. So I leave that with you. With that, I've actually opened another question, which is a bit more detailed, asking you to look at individual disclosures and tick which ones are interesting. So between leaving this room and going for dinner, if you want to continue with 5-10 minutes thinking of fair value, I would encourage you to do that. We really appreciate the input and the time on this. It's really useful. And what are we going to do with this? I mean, this was our trial of using the examples, and I think it was reasonably successful. It also shows it's hard to, you know, have a focused discussion, especially when people have lots of other topics. So again, I really appreciate that, and we will plan to continue using this kind of approach in our outreach over the next few months. This was our first one. And the period for responses to consultation, to request for information, ends on 22nd of September. We look forward to receiving letters from some of you. And we plan to go to the board towards end of the year, maybe early next year, to start discussing the feedback and discuss what will go in the feedback statement. And I just want to re-emphasize at this point that having post-implementation review doesn't mean necessarily board is going to make any changes to IFRS 13. Surely the board might decide that it wants to consider making changes, but it is in no means a given that this is going to happen. Number of steps are possible, and you know, we are doing this exercise just to see what are the needs and what steps might be helpful to help people, if any. So thank you very much again.
Okay, thanks, Alida. I think that will conclude our public session today. And I think we will now continue with a kind of admin session. But I will now unmute.